We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 26, entitled King Puranjana Goes to the Forest to Hunt, Verse 4.
Chacharamrigayam
tatram
driptateshu
karmukaham
vihaya jayam atat arham mriga vyasana lalasaham.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada ki. It was almost impossible for King Puranjana to give up the company of his queen even for a moment. Nonetheless, on that day, being very much inspired by the desire to hunt, he took up his bow and arrow with great pride and went to the forest, not caring for his wife. Responsively, please. It was almost impossible for King Puranjana to give up the company of his queen, even for a moment. Nonetheless, on that day, being very much inspired by the desire to hunt, he took up his bow and arrow with great pride and went to the forest, not caring for his wife. One form of hunting is known as woman hunting. A conditioned soul is never satisfied with one wife. Those whose senses are very much uncontrolled especially try to hunt for many women. King Puranjana's abandoning the company of his religiously married wife is representative of the conditioned soul's attempt to hunt for many women for sense gratification. Wherever a king goes, he is supposed to be accompanied by his queen. But when the king or conditioned soul becomes greatly overpowered by the desire for sense gratification, he does not care for religious principles. Instead, with great pride, he accepts the bow and arrow of attachment and hatred. Our consciousness is always working in two ways, the right way, the wrong way. When one becomes too proud of his position, influenced by the mode of passion, he gives up the right path and accepts the wrong one. Kshatriya kings are sometimes advised to go to the forest to hunt ferocious animals just to learn how to kill. But such forays are never meant for sense gratification. Killing animals to eat their flesh is forbidden for human beings.
Om Aganti Mirandasya Ganjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guru Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare.
King Puranjana here made a mistake. He went for woman hunting. His religiously married wife, Prabhupada says, even very difficult to give up her association. He did. He did it. He went for illicit sex. So there is like, he did, yeah. We hear previous chapter, mostly we hear about his passionate activities as a karmi. He was doing karma. In karma belong, like sense gratification belongs into karma. According to religious principles, yagyas according to religious principles, that's all karma. I mean a religious principle. Yagyas meant for bringing material opulence. They are in the realm of karma. and taking care for, giving charity to others, all that karma. So now he made a mistake. He went out of the realm of karma and he went to sinful life, vikarma. Vikarma. So this is called vikarma, sinful life. Is beyond, beyond, under the activities of karma. Karma is karma kanda, we heard, that's pious activities. They are in the mode of passion, they're meant for the pleasure of the senses, but because they are, according to the Vedic scriptures, they're not considered sinful. But Puranjana, what else you can learn from him? You know, he went over the edge. He left his pious life, although it was karmi, pious life, and he went even further, sinful life. Attachment and hatred, bow and arrow. He took bow and arrow, attachment and hatred. These are representatives of modes of passion and ignorance. When passion is not utilized properly, then it brings to fall down, Prabhupada mentions. When one is too proud, in the previous verses we hear that he was accompanied by what? Two lightnings, I forgot. But he was accompanied by two explosive arrows. Previous verse, by the way, for those who didn't hear, speaks about how Puranjana went hunting and he describes his chariot and his friends who went with him, and all they have particular relevant the meaning, the other meaning, philosophical meaning. And two explosive arrows mean pride. One means I am something that I'm actually not, and the other arrow means everything that belongs to the body is mine. So these two arrows are pride. And because people are, Puranjana, we say people, also we can say, Puranjana was influenced by false pride, these two forms. He thought, I am the greatest, I am Bhagavan. Ishwaroham aham bhogi sidoham aham sukhi. I am the enjoyer, I am the greatest, I am happy, I have everything, you know, I am Bhagavan. So Puranjana, he felt like this, you know, oh, I have such a wonderful life. And he became bewildered, and then he fell down into sinful life, went with other woman. We'll see later on, his wife was very much angry. She was very angry. And then he came back, he said, who did this to you? Why are you so angry? I'll punish whoever did this to you. And in fact, that was himself, you know. He went into sinful life. He fell down from his pious life. Attachment and hatred, here he says. Attachment and hatred. Yeah, these are representatives of modes of passion and ignorance. That's like politics works like that. Mundane, modern politics. A definition. Whatever fulfills my desires for sense gratification, that is good. And whatever is out of that, that is not good. And if it's not good, then I hate, then I kill, then I attack, then whatever I do. Then I try to get rid of. Attachment and repulsion, aversion and desiring. These are two different symptoms of attachment. Whether we are averse to something, this means we hate something. We don't want this. Oh, it's an impediment to my sense gratification. I don't want this. Get rid of this impediment to my sense gratification. And the other way, oh, this is very pleasant. This is very good. Yes, I want this. I want this. I want to more and more and more and more. So this is mode of passion and ignorance, the way to hell, sinful life. So Puranjana came back to his wife later, we will see, and he received a, how we say, he got a sauce, you know. Where is my queen? Where is she? Ho. Oh. And then we cannot explain her behavior. She's very angry. And oh my God, you know, my sense gratification is going, you know, like she's angry. She doesn't want to talk to me. And then he was very nice, and yes, this and that. And you are very beautiful. You're everything, you know. You're the source of everything that I have. And you have blessed me there, like Kashyapa Muni was trying to pacify his Diti when she attacked him. Attacked him, you know. Trying to give a Brahmachari class here. When Aditi attacked Kashyapa Muni because she wanted to have sons, and Kashyapa Muni knew here that's not the right time and all that, so he tried to pacify her. He said to her, "You are the source of dharma, artha, and kama for me. You are, without you, I'm lost. I'm without anything." Something like that Puranjana did to his wife. So karma. Okay, there's three. Karma, vikarma, and akarma. So karma is religious sense, enjoyment, happy, materially life. Previously, like Prachinabarhi, he was very much interested to this. He performed many yagyas. For what? For happiness. It's mentioned that the whole kingdom was very happy. Himself was very happy. Everybody was happy. Peace and prosperity. But was that real peace? Haribol! What's happening? Yeah, everyone was, but were they really happy? This karmic performance of sacrifice and charity and sacrifice, dana, tapa, yagya, and sacrifice, austerity, and charity. Does Vedic karmic sacrifice, austerity, and charity, do they bring real happiness? Are they perfect? That's kind of the answer is, of course, no. Because why then Narada Muni came and say, Prachinabarhi, you are doing great nonsense here. What? He could say, what? Everybody is happy. And Narada Muni could say, are they? Are they happy? Are their selves, are their souls happy? Karmic results. Everybody is properly situated according to their varna and ashrama and doing their duties properly. Everybody is taken care of in this way. They're well situated. Dana is, charity is going on. Jagya is going on. And tapasya is going on. The Brahmins are trained to direct people how to perform their varnashrama duties properly. So, happiness. Is it? Yes, no. Rhetorical question. It is not. According to Vaishnava Siddhanta, which is not varnashrama dharma, it is prema dharma. It is Krishna Dharma, Sanatan Dharma. According to this type of Dharma, that's not real happiness because it ends, doesn't have real substance, it's insubstantial, it's fallible. Because those who know about prema dharma, eternal dharma, they know that there is something much more substantial than just varnashrama dharma. which is only, basically talking about karma there. So here comes akarma. Akarma means activities without karmic results. Because vikarma, that's sinful, hell, you know. Karma, that's pious, more karma. You get more good karma. If you do karma well, then in next life you will advance and you will get better position in material world. Kings, they were aspiring for heavenly planets. Brahmins also, heavenly planets, heaven. But is this goal of Vaishnavas, of our? Is this our goal? Is this what we are striving for? No. It is something much more substantial, because even from the heavenly planets, even if you attain liberation and merge, it's a possibility that you merge with Brahman. You attain Brahman level. This is also on the platform of akarma. Akarma means no karma. It's not within the realm of three modes. So it's akarma is beyond the three modes. But beyond the three modes is still more than one thing. It's not just Krishna and love of Godhead. It is more. It is also Brahman and Paramatma. That's beyond karma as well. So even if you go to the level of Brahman or Paramatma, still you will not attain perfection as long as you don't accept Krishna's Tu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Sambandha Krishna, Abhideya Bhakti, Prayojana, Krishna Prem. Sambandha is Krishna, the object of our worship, object of our attention, object of our work. The goal is Krishna, relationship with Krishna, and we are the eternally parts and parcels of Krishna. This is Sambandha. Sambandha Gyan means that we know where things fit and what is their nature. So what's nature of Krishna? Transcendental nature. What's nature of the soul? Is transcendental. Conditioned soul is under the influence of material energy, which binds the soul in the modes of material nature, which means the soul is in prison. That's Sambandha Gyan, basically, very shortly. So Krishna is the knowable. Gita deals with this. Who is the knower? Who is the knowable? Who is the basically, who is the knower? Who is the knowable? The knower is Krishna. He knows everything. And for a living entity, who is the knowable? What is the knowable? From the perspective of living entity, human being, sense gratification, vikarma, drugs, sex, rock and roll. Is that what we must study? Is that what we have to study? Is that what we have to learn about? No. Is it pious life? Like, yeah, we have to perform rituals, and we have to be very pious, and feed hungry, and give money to the caritas, whatever. And build hospitals and schools. Of course, when I'm saying this, I'm saying without connection to Krishna consciousness. If we connect these things to Krishna consciousness, we put Krishna in the center. They have different nature, they change. Yukta Vairagya and stuff. So if we don't include Krishna, is that what we must study? How to perform philanthropic work? Well, or how to enjoy life as good as we can? Enjoy senses, not it's more exact if you say senses. Enjoy senses as good as we can. That's not what we study. What we study is Krishna. That's transcendental. What we study soul. We study what is the relationship. So this is Sambandha. We figure out what we actually supposed to study. Now we study vikarma and akarma from different perspectives, from the perspective of with the relationship with Krishna, in the relationship with Krishna. So we know that vikarma takes us very fast away from Krishna, causes forgetfulness about Krishna. So we will avoid, we won't study that, we won't go into it. And karma, we know that it's mode of passion, and we also won't engage so much to that, because the knowledge about Krishna is superior to that. And we want to get rid of all the karma, which is the obstacle of in our spiritual life. What we study is bhakti. And bhakti is our abhideya. Bhakti is our process. It's not karma, it's not vikarma. Akarma, in a general meaning, akarma means what is beyond the modes of nature. That's also Brahman and Paramatma. But bhakti, particularly, is within the realm of akarma, but is specifically is specific, and it's even beyond the Brahman and Paramatma realization, brings us beyond. And that's our way how we attain the perfect devotional service. Devotional service is universal. This means that anybody can take up devotional service on some level and get the mercy and then improve. That's why bhakti and Krishna prema bhakti are two different things in this sense. Our abhideya, our process is bhakti, and perfect bhakti is our goal. So bhakti twice. This means that bhakti goes down to the conditioned living entities and gives opportunity. Bhakti is very merciful. Goes even to those who are performing sinful activities and gives them chance through devotees, different ways, Prabhupada's books. And then person get a chance to become purified. First to follow four regulative principles, then to get more subtle, and then to gain attachment to Krishna, and then to attain pure love of Krishna. So that's the dynamics of bhakti, goes down. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, there are three levels of bhakti. One is Uttama Bhakti, another is Bhava Bhakti, and the third one is Prema Bhakti, the goal. So Uttama Bhakti is not complete. That's Sadhana Bhakti, whether Raganuga or Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. And then when one attains bhava, the goal of sadhana bhakti is always bhava bhakti. And then bhava bhakti is very advanced form of bhakti, is the beginning of prema bhakti. Within bhava bhakti, it's still sadhana bhava bhakti, because it's still training. But it's in different realm than sadhana bhakti. Basically, a devotee who is on the level of Bhava Bhakti is doing the same, is following the same things that someone who is on the level of Uttama Bhakti. However, the Bhava Bhakta, he is doing it from the spiritual level. Because on the level of Bhava Bhakti, one is self-realized. Self-realized means that one perceives the soul, one perceives Krishna. As they are. One sees things as they are. That means that one is self-realized. Prabhupada mentions Vasudeva platform. You perceive the soul, this is the symptom that you have seen things as they are, because the soul is the last thing that you can perceive, because that's the real self. And then gradually when you self-realized, you become more and more act according to the soul's nature, because the nature of the soul is what? The nature of the soul is devotional service to Krishna. That's the nature of the soul. So when the consciousness purifies so much and one becomes self-realized, then one sees things as they are, and the devotional service is very easy, and the performance of 64 processes of devotional service is full of nectar and done on the self-realized platform. And that brings very, very quick advancement, a lot of bhava. Bhava also means nectar. Bhava means emotion. So whatever devotee on the level of bhava does is bringing a lot of pleasure for him. And that's the happiness that the karmis doesn't know. Prachinabhar, he said, everybody is happy. What's wrong? Narada Muni, are you sure? You know, that, you know, what you're saying is not right because we're performing so many jagyas and there's practically no enemies. There's no disturbance in the kingdom because there's so much piety going on. And Narada Muni said, what about the soul? Is soul happy? Is soul, when the beginning of Bhagavatam, Sutta Goswami first starts to speak after the 6 questions of the sages. He says, they ask him, one of the questions was, what is the dharma, what is the highest occupational duty for the humans? Because we see karma doesn't work here anymore, because for performance of yagyas and yagya, dana and tapa, for performance of these 3 you have to have some qualification, and looks like that the time is coming when we will lose all the qualifications. So we have doubts whether we were right at the first place. So tell us, what is the highest occupational duty for a human? And he says, what does he say in Sanskrit? Parodharmo eto bhaktir adokshache ahaitaki apratihata yanatma supersiditi. For the man, the highest occupational duty is that which brings to the loving devotion service to transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. So, Prachinabhar, he could say, oh my God, you know, if that is true, then we are in trouble here. Because all we do, we have so many motives. We are so motivated. We are motivated to have happy, sense-enjoying life. And, you know, Puranjana here, in context of these words, would say, okay, I have motivation for sinful life. So what to do now? I have so many motivations. I didn't even accept devotional service as the supreme process beyond the karmic yagya, dana, and tapa. So what to do? What to do if the highest happiness that can be achieved is without is devotional service without motivation and without interruption? That is devotional service on the self-realized platform. Yeah, well, Prachinabhar, he had some brain, and after he heard the whole story from Narada Muni, he said, yes, I understand now. I have to become self-realized, not sense-realized, or sense-enjoyment realized, or sinful enjoyment realized, sinful life realized. Self-realized and surrender to Krishna. There is a beautiful story in Bhagavatam in 11th canto, when it was like Avanti Brahmana. It describes a nice gradation, how he advanced, how his understanding changed. Avanti Brahmana was a Brahmin by birth. That's why he's called Avanti. He was born in Avanti, that's a place somewhere in India. And what happened was he became a merchant, and he was very sinful. He was doing all kinds of abominable things. And he didn't care for religion or anything. He was just sinful. He was cheating. He had many enemies. He was dealing with trade. He was a trader. He cheated many people. Many, I mean, whatever you can imagine, you imagine, he did it, you know. There's nothing he wouldn't do. He's killing everything, you know, like Jagai and Madai, you know, something like that. You know. When you read that, you say, oh my God, you know, is this all possible, you know, to do? When did he find time to do all this, you know, burning houses and all that, you know? Was he not afraid of the government? But he did it. And later on, he had a revelation and he started to suffer very much. He lost everything. He lost his business. He lost. Nothing worked. He wanted to gain more money. Didn't work. Nothing worked. And then he lost everything. He was banished from his village. And then he started to think, you know, what's happening here? Why is this happening to me? You know, why is this happening to me? You know, like just perhaps here some time back he was doing that same things to other people, and now he's thinking, what's happening here? It must be my previous karma. Yeah, what I probably did something very bad in the past. That was one realization he had, and then he traveled around as a mendicant. And where he came, and everybody was torturing him, literally. They were, I mean, let's have some ghastliness here. They were urinating on him and on his food. They were stealing his, they were kicking away his food from him. They tied him for the tree. And how he explained that to himself, he said, what bad can a soul do to me? Nothing of this is bad. Nothing of this is actually suffering. Because he saw only the soul. He became self-realized. He saw the soul. He said, the reason why these people exist here is because of the soul. The soul is giving them energy. Like there is an analogy of the car and the driver and the fuel in the car. So the driver is the soul. The fuel is food for the body. And the car is the body. So if there is no driver, you know, nothing, the car won't drive, even if you put the fuel in it, you know. So, you know, even if you feed that dog, it doesn't become alive because there is no soul anymore. So he said, soul is giving the energy to these people to do this to me. So nothing can be bad. Everything is connected to the soul, and soul is transcendental. And what can soul do bad? Soul is devotee. And devotees has all good qualities. So he saw it like that. His description, the mention of Uttamadhikari. Uttamadhikari sees like this. Everybody is part and parcel of Krishna. With other words, everybody is a devotee on the level of the soul. Of course, Uttamadhikari also sees conditioning of the soul at the same time. But superior to that is realization that everybody is devotee. And then Avanti Brahmana, he realized that also Krishna is there. And he said, let me surrender to Krishna. Because he is the protector. He is the best of all. He is the best friend. He is eternal companion of every living entity, whether liberated or conditioned. So that's our practice. Surrender to Krishna. So now what we do when we perform yagya, our yagya is Sankirtan yagya. And yagya, Sankirtan yagya has similar purpose than yagyas, I mean similar, works in a similar way. Doesn't have similar purpose, but works in a similar way that yagyas, Vedic yagyas in the past, when we talk about them in the shastras, from the histories. Vedic yagyas were organized, performed by the qualified Brahmins and all that, and they had the auspicious influence. So for those who think that magic is just some modern invention, magic
was very much present in Vedic times. Magic. There was black magic, red magic, and white magic. Yes, because Brahmins were qualified to do. Remember in Bhagavatam, there's so many instances, you know, from a hair creates a demon which is just meant to kill Ambarish Maharaj in Bhagavatam. That's black magic, you know. And there's jagyas. Brahmins perform jagyas to create huge fiery demon to destroy Dwaraka. The demon comes back and destroys the whole thing there, you know, because Dwaraka cannot be destroyed by a black magic demon. So there's red magic. That's passion. That's the mode of passion for the pleasure of the senses. There's white magic, we say, for sense, for self-realization. And this is, jagya is magic, is mystical thing. Chanting of the holy names is mystical thing. It has the same, it's based on the same principle as other jagyas. You perform yagya, sacrifice, for some reason. And that sacrifice, especially if performed, I mean, it should be performed by a qualified person. Or persons like congregational chanting, if there are advanced devotees present, then yagya is more powerful. And the yagya of Sankirtan brings love of Godhead. And with that, of course, love of Godhead brings all other auspiciousness. So yagya, in principle, in Sankirtan yagya, in principle, brings everything what we need. Because Sankirtan yagya is Krishna. And Krishna brings... Actually, this verse exactly. Well, he says that he brings to someone who is worshipping him, whatever. So this is Sankirtan Yagya, we worship Krishna. That's yagya. We were worshipped by Sankirtan yagya, and the principle is that the result comes. So this weekend, I was reflecting on this weekend Sankirtan yagya, and said, this was a very powerful experience for me. I'm sure that this yagya was very powerful, and it was a wave, a tsunami of auspiciousness, not just for those who were participating, but also for Radhadesh, for ISKCON, and for whole world. So that's how yagya works. And if we do yagya, like we said before, yagya, dana, tapa, the charity, and jagya, and austerity, these are three ways to success. Whoever is successful did these three. But in our line, we do it in connection to Krishna. We give charity, we give prasadam. We give charity. Charity is also giving transcendental knowledge. We give charity, we give books for small donation. That's also charity. That's why it's so potent. Brings success to those who are participating. And jagya is Sankirtan jagya and deity worship. And austerities are celibacy, regulated life. Prasadam, these are in the realm of austerity. And fasting for Kadashis and all that. So we do these three and success will be there. I mean, perhaps, I don't know. There are some people who have quite complicated definitions of how to attain success. But basically, if you want to be successful, you do these three. You can, in principle, do them for some other goal than to attain love of Godhead, to improve your bhakti. But basically, bhakti is the means for all success. So better do this for attaining bhakti, because bhakti, Narada Muni says in Narada Bhakti Sutra, that bhakti is the best means to attain success. That's one of the sutras, Narada Bhakti Sutra. So better gain bhakti. That's the best type of thinking. You know, first I'll get bhakti, because when I get bhakti, I can have anything, you know, and very, very quickly, you know, because Krishna, if you're like very high elevated devotee, Krishna fulfills all the desires, you know, so I can have anything when I attain bhakti.
Well, Krishna gives himself. If you want bhakti, you will get bhakti, you will get Krishna also. And when you will get Krishna, all your motives will be purified. So Haitukya Pratihata, your soul will be perfectly satisfied with selfless, unmotivated, uninterrupted service to Krishna. And when we say, just one last point, and when we say that the self is satisfied, then that doesn't mean that the senses and the mind is not satisfied. That automatically means we water the root, every branches and leaves will be satisfied. We please the Lord. One of the symptoms of the Lord is pleased is that we are doing it from the level of self-realized, that we are self-realized. That's just one of the symptoms of our advanced devotional service. And when we do that, then our senses will be pleased. And to control the senses will be like nothing very very difficult, or something which we should put so much attention to. So self-realization ki jai. Bhagavatam ki jai, Prabhupada ki jai. Whether we have one or two comments, if someone has something. Yes. Dana. Dana means charity, receiving guests and philanthropic work by definition. But dana can also be, yeah, in transcendental, in our line, dana is book distribution, prasad distribution, knowledge. Like if you teach, that's dana. Actually, you give knowledge in charity. I heard one. I was thinking about when I was preparing for classes, thinking about this. I heard a class by Srila Prabhupada, and at the end, when there are questions, devotees are asking questions. He's talking about the motives, and the discussion comes up that you can chant with the motive to attain some other goal than Krishna Prem. And Prabhupada said, you can do that and Krishna will fulfill your desire. But that's not pure chanting. We want pure chanting. That was the point. You can perform, you can organize whole Harinams and, you know, the Nama Jagyas and all that. But in your heart, you want success in business or in politics or something else. You can do that and Krishna will fulfill, Prabhupada says. But that's not why we perform Sankirtan Jagyas. When we go to Kirtan Vikan like was this, you don't go just because hotshot singer is singing. We go because we want to attain something spiritual. And that's Sharanagati, you want mercy. We go in the mood of receiving the mercy. And that's, we surrender. We are in the mood of surrendering to the mercy of Krishna. That's the process of Sharanagati, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains. So that's the motive that we go. This is our motive. This is our motive is to gain Krishna's attention, to gain his protection, to gain his mercy. Because his mercy is transcendental and his mercy is complete and perfect. And you won't lack anything in life if you pray to Krishna for mercy. Because he knows better how to please your senses, your mind, and everything. He's Govinda, he pleases the senses. He'll make yourself realize, and then he'll have no more problems with you. And you won't have any more problems with anything in life. You won't feel problems. You won't feel suffering. Problems may be there. Prabhupada had problems, but suffering is not there. And only suffering which comes out of compassion for the fallen souls, which are dwelling in their forgetfulness of Krishna. So our motive is to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. You know, it is for ourselves. I want to advance. I want others to advance. That's also we go with this prayer. But it is, I want to advance towards Krishna, and that's not motivation. That's pure motivation. That's spiritual motivation. It's valid. It brings success.
Prabhu, last comment. Okay, please say loudly and the way that you can understand. Woman hunting. Yeah, the analogy says he went to hunting with the chariot and yeah, he's I didn't understand. What was the last part?
You cannot leave behind your intelligence.
Oh yeah, no, but in this context, the queen is not considered to be intelligent. You know what I mean? He left intelligence. Basically, he left intelligence in the sense that he forgot all about his pious enjoyment and pious life, which is still religious. You know what I mean? And then he left intelligence behind and lost it completely. And he went into sinful life, which is even worse than pious life. I mean, karmic life. You see? Yeah, but intelligence, also some people, they are very expert in engaging their intelligence in sinful life. They make all arrangements possible to have sinful life, to have illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, meat eating. They invest a lot of attention how to increase those. That in this sense, they're increasing their intelligence. Makes some sense? Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And later on, you said he took shelter of Krishna,
yes,
for protection. But if he had like this kind of vision, by protection from Bhakti.
Yeah, also liberated souls, they pray to Krishna for protection. Because everybody depends on Krishna. In Vrindavan, where everybody is siddhas, when Krishna performs pastimes, everybody is siddha there. They doesn't have they are in their natural eternal position. So when the forest fire comes, they say, "Oh Krishna, protect us, you're the only one who can do that." So the principle of protection is present all the time, because person wants Krishna and they know that if Krishna will be there, all the dangers are away. Whether it's part of the pastime or whether it's the necessity that the devotee feels when he is living in material world. Devotee always want to be protected against Maya and not to fall down. So the principle of protection is present in one way or another, to pray for protection. He surrendered to Krishna. This means that he became his subordinate. And he was willing to... Praying for protection from Krishna also means that I am willing to accept whatever you give me. I'm not willing to make my own plans anymore because it doesn't work. They may have some work, they may work, but I want your plan to be fulfilled. That's why I pray for mercy. I pray for protection of my devotion, spiritual life, about my everything, because you know how to protect me. Therefore, in this way, you open to the mercy of Krishna. You open to Krishna's mercy and to Krishna's will, because Krishna is willing to change your life. Krishna can change to destroy all your past karma and can completely reform your life. Your future is not there anymore if Krishna wants like this. And if you are destined to die
and you surrender to Krishna, Krishna, please protect me, you can be saved from death. You know what I mean? He changes. He becomes involved in your life. That's why you're praying, Krishna, protect me. I want you to become involved with my life. I want to have relationship with you. Because I know that, like one of the last verses in Gita says, wherever Krishna and Arjuna are, there is victory. So if you are a thing of Krishna and Arjuna, there will be victory. So everybody wants to become successful, wants to attain goal, wants to become perfect. And that's the way. Okay? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Prabhupada ki jai, Bhagavatam ki jai.